The only thing I'm thinking about getting old is good. You can say something stupid, and I'll go, "Well, he's just old. He don't." But, man, I appreciate the goodness of the Lord. I love Brother Brian. I love to hear him preach. Dr. Dave McCoy, a mutual friend of ours, said to me the other day, said, "I wish Brian would strike out just one time to make me feel better." I said, "I don't think it's going to happen in this world nor the world to come." And he's already done told you, I wanted to make that announcement myself. That's all right. Praise God, I'm going to be a pawpaw. And I've taken my life's time and looked at all your pitches. My time's a-coming, buddy. Now, you old-timers had an album. I have an iPad. You had hundreds. I'll have thousands. And I told my son before they told me they's expect. I said, "Boy, if you don't hurry, I'm going to be in diapers with that baby." So hopefully we're going to be able to play with it, not forget where we put it. Say amen right there. Oh, man. I can't hardly wait. One Friday night, one of my friends said, "I can see your schedule now, Brother Joe. All of a sudden, Friday nights have become available. But I'm going to bring them over to my house on Friday night and feed them cotton candy, Reese's Pieces, pour Coca-Cola down them by the gallons, feed them some ice cream, jack them up, and send them home with their mama and daddy and go, hee." That may not be spiritual, but it sounds like fun. And I appreciate the goodness of the Lord. Mark chapter number 5 tonight. I love the gospel of Mark. Jesus is introduced in the gospel of Mark as the man that gets the job done. And seemingly in the gospel of Mark, nothing, absolutely nothing is greater than Jesus Christ. He is greater than the darkness. He is greater than the demons. He is greater than death. He is greater than defilement. He's greater than the difficulties. And in Mark 5, it is an action-packed chapter where Jesus, the Son of David, is exemplifying his mercy, his grace, his power, his love, and even his authority. He begins the chapter by casting the demons out of that old boy and putting them in the pig. During Christmas, we had some honey-baked ham. And I told my wife, I said, "Something to be full of the devil as much as that is sure does taste good." And he begins by demonstrating his power over the devil. And then a man comes to him, a ruler, because he has a daughter that is at the point of death. And he comes and asks Jesus if he will come to his house and raise up his daughter. And aren't you glad tonight he makes house calls? I'm glad, praise God, one day he came to my house. And aren't you glad for the day he came to your house? And while Jesus is on his way to this man's house, something interesting happens in our text tonight. Look, if you will, in Mark chapter number 5 and verse number 24. Now, I believe that Jesus may not be in a hurry, but I believe this daddy was. He has come and got the Lord, and he is on his way back to his house because he wants Jesus to raise up his little girl. But something interrupts his plans, and I love what happens in our text. Verse number 24, the Bible said, "And Jesus went with him, and much people followed him and thronged him. And a certain woman which had an issue of blood 12 years. Now watch that number 12. You'll see that again at the end of this story. In fact, I like it so good. I'm just going to go ahead and tell you right now. This woman has been sick for 12 years. And this little girl that her daddy wants Jesus to touch is 12 years old. This woman has been sick every year this little girl has been alive. And she had this issue of blood for 12 years. Verse number 26, if you've ever been to a doctor, you don't have any problem believing this. And she suffered many things of many physicians and had spent all that she had. Can I get an amen right there? Friend of mine said the other day, Brother Joe, that prescription the doctor wrote me, I can't read it. I said, I know what it says. It says, I got my money, now it's your turn to get yours. Say amen right there. And spent all. And was nothing bettered, say this out loud with me, but rather grew worse. Verse number 27, business is about to pick up. When she had heard of Jesus, hallelujah, thank God for the day. I heard of Jesus. And when she had heard of Jesus, my Lord, I'm about to get hung up right there. Oh, no wonder the Bible said, how beautiful are the feet of them that bring the gospel and preach the glad tidings of peace. And when she had heard of Jesus, came in the press behind and touched his garment. For she had said, if I may but touch his clothes, I shall be whole. Watch your Bible now in verse number 29. And straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up. Uh-oh. And she wasn't a Baptist. And she felt it in her body that she was healed of that plague. And Jesus immediately knowing in himself, I love this part, that virtue had gone out of him, turned him about in the press and said, who touched my clothes? And let me just say this right here. When an all-knowing God asks questions, he's not hunting information. You say, well, if God knows everything, then why does he ask questions? Because he's given you and I an opportunity to get honest and to get real and confess how much we need him. Who touched my clothes? Now, I love the disciples. I don't know how in the world you can get that close to Jesus and be that stupid. I don't understand it. Verse number 31, and his disciples said unto him, and I see the sarcasm in this. Thou seest the multitude thronging thee, and sayest thou, who touched me? Like Jesus, don't you see all these people around? How are we supposed to know who it was in this large crowd that touched you? And he looked round about, and I love what it said, to see her. If Jesus, well, glory. If Jesus hadn't known who it was, he wouldn't have used that word her. He'd have said he looked around to see who it was. If Jesus hadn't known it, it said he looked around to see who it was. But Jesus already knew who it was. He wanted her to admit that's who he was. I ain't never wanted to read, but run before while I'm reading my scripture. I'm wanting to run right here. He looked round about to see her that had done this thing. Verse 33. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her, came and fell down before him. And I love this, Brother Brian, and told him all the truth. And can I say, you might as well go ahead and do that because he already knows it anyway. And told him all the truth. And he said unto her, watch this now, daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace and be whole of thy plague. And from this passage tonight, I want to preach for a little while on this subject, on you can't get lost in a crowd. You can't get lost in a crowd. Here, Jesus is thronged with hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people. There are so many people around him that it's even boggled the mind of his disciples. Yet, but here is one little woman with one desire and one need. And she presses through that crowd. And in spite of all of the people that are there, she got what she needed from the Master. Because when it comes to who Jesus is and what Jesus can do, you can't get lost in a crowd. Now, I love tonight in the Bible what I call the masses of God's love. I'm glad God's love is deeper and wider and higher. I'm glad the Bible said, for God so loved the world. I'm glad tonight God loves the masses of humanity. The other day I was preaching in a camp meeting and I preached on Monday night on the love of God. I said God loves everybody. The very next morning, the morning speaker got up and said, well, I've often heard it said that God loves everybody. But he don't. Well, I guess he did hear it said. I'd said it the night before. And he went on to try to explain why God didn't love everybody. And he did what most people of that Calvinistic mindset do. Had to twist a bunch of scriptures. And I'm telling you, I believed it before I said it, during I said it, and upon I said it, that God loves everybody. I'm amazed at the mass of God's love. Then as I read the Bible, I'm amazed at what I call God's collective love. That God can love a group of people. The Bible said several times over the New Testament that he loved the church. That he loved the church. That he loved the church. I'm glad tonight in God's mass of love, there is God's collective love. He does love his bride, his building, and his body. But I'm more than amazed at the mass of God's love and the collectiveness of God's love. What really thrills me tonight is the personal or the individual love of God. I'm glad the Bible said, for God so loved the world. I'm glad the Bible said that God loved the church. But I love what Paul said in his writings. He said, he loved me and gave himself for me. He is the Savior of the masses. He is the collective Savior that died for the church. But I'm glad tonight he is the individual Savior, the personal Savior. The Lord is my light. He is my Savior. He is my shepherd. He loves me just like he loves everybody else. Jesus in our text is ministering. And he is surrounded by hundreds, maybe even thousands of people. But yet there is one little woman that can't get lost in that crowd. For Jesus is a Savior to be proud of. Man, there's millions and billions of people on planet Earth. There's hundreds and hundreds of thousands of people around us every day of our life. But I'm glad when God looks down at this world, there's a little fella. There's a little preacher. There's a little servant. There's a little daddy that has problems and needs and troubles and trials. And God hasn't lost me in a crowd. He still knows where Joe Arthur lives. He still knows where Joe Arthur cries. He still knows where Joe Arthur has needs. And think about it tonight. Out of all the billions of people on planet Earth, He loves you. He sees you. He cares about you. He wants to help you, because you can't get lost in a crowd. I'm about to enjoy my own preaching life. Three things in the text about this woman. Number one tonight, I want you to notice her dilemma. Here is a woman that has a need. Can I say it like this tonight? Here's a woman who has a great need. Number one, she has suffered long. And number two, she has spent all. You think about that tonight. She has suffered long and she has spent all. According to our text, every day of her life, for 12 long years. Let me ask you this tonight. Anybody here ever had a bad day? Anybody here ever had a bad moment? The other day, me and Mrs. Arthur was discussing something. And I said, "Are you having a moment, honey?" She said, "If you don't get back in your place, it's going to turn into a week." I said, "Yes, ma'am." Have you ever had a bad day? But this woman didn't have a bad moment. She didn't have a bad day. She didn't have a bad week. She didn't have a bad month. She didn't have a bad year. She had 12 long years, a bad day, every day of her life. Let me say it like this tonight. The circumstances of life that were beyond her control had taken a toll on this lady. Can I say that again? The circumstances of life that was beyond her control had taken its toll upon this lady. And may I say to all of us tonight, all of us will have our moments, our weeks, our days, our months, our years. We will have our seasons of trouble. We will have our seasons of heartache. We will have our seasons of trial. We will go through the uncontrollable circumstances of life, and because we live in a body of flesh, it will take its toll upon us. Have you ever gone through anything and made this statement, maybe not with your mouth, but in your heart, "I can't take anymore. I can't handle another day of this pain. I can't handle another moment of this depression. I can't handle another moment of this pressure and this heartache." Can I remind you tonight that this dear lady in our text has not only suffered long, but she has spent all. It has cost this woman everything. She has spent everything she's got. She has nothing left. She has tried every doctor. She has tried every remedy. She has tried every cure. But her uncontrollable circumstance seems to be something that God has to fix, or it's not going to be fixed. And the greatest day in all of our lives is when we realize our uncontrollable circumstances cannot be fixed by money, and it cannot be fixed by religion, and it cannot be fixed by education, and it cannot be fixed by a preacher, and it cannot be fixed by our family. But I'm glad there is a God in the glory world who is powerful, who is personal, who is awesome, who is the remedy, who is the hope, who is the answer from my uncontrollable circumstances. And it's okay to be weak, because when you're weak, He's strong. And it's okay to be broke, because when you're broke, He's got it all. I'm telling you, you can't get lost in a crowd in the midst of your dilemma. She has suffered long and she has spent all. 12 years, and she's not better. On the other hand, she's worse. But one day, and I don't know how this happened, but one day she heard of Jesus. Man, when I read this text, it hit me. I wonder what she heard about him. I don't know what she heard about him, but whatever it was, created an overwhelming desire for her to know who he is and meet him for who he is and see what he could do on her behalf. Maybe she heard he opens blinded eyes. And no doubt she thought, well, if he can heal a man that's been blind from birth, he can heal somebody that's been sick for 12 years. Maybe she has heard that he cleanses lepers. And man, everybody knows in that day, buddy, leprosy was a death warrant. You had no cure for that. But yet if a man can cure an incurable disease, he can help me in my infirmity. Maybe she heard that he took crippled people and made them walk again. Maybe she heard that he took people that couldn't hear and couldn't speak. They could hear and they could speak again. Maybe she had even heard there was a few people that the doctor shook his head and looked at their family and said, they're gone and they're dead. And surely a man that can reach into the realm of death and bring them back to life again can help me in my dilemma. I don't know what she heard, but whatever she heard about Jesus flamed hope in her soul that it is no secret what God can do for what he's done for others, he can do for you. Let me tell you about my dilemma. I was lost and undone with that God or his son, headed to a devil's hell. I was so close to the fire, my heart was already black by the flame, and I had no hope. But I heard that he changes lives, and I heard that he forgives sins, and I heard he emancipated sinners, and I heard he gives courage and victory. And I said, Lord, have mercy. If God can save them, he can save me. If God can redeem them, he can redeem me. I'm glad I've heard of somebody who can take my case. Woo! For I see her dilemma, but then I see her desire. Something swells up in her and said, I want to meet him. I want to see him. And I just want to touch the hem of his garment. I don't know what all she heard, but whatever she heard was enough to give her faith that just glory, the hem of his garment, could make her whole. I'm having a Brian McBride moment. That verse leads me to this verse. So then faith cometh by hearing. Whoop! And hearing by the word of God. I wasn't a doper before I got saved. I wasn't a drunkard before I got saved. I wasn't an adulterer before I got saved. I wasn't a jailbird before I got saved. I wasn't a bum before I got saved. I probably would have became all of that if I hadn't have got saved. I was just a lost preacher's son, a religious but lost little preacher's boy. But that hearing about God saving them drunkards and saving them hollers and saving them sinners, ablaze faith in my soul, and I said, God, if you can reach further down than man can reach up, you can help me, you can touch me, you can bless me. Thank God for the day that I got a desire to seek the Lord. Her desire, she said, if I can just touch, not shake his hand, not hug his neck, not even wear his coat, if I can just touch the hem of his garment, I believe. I wonder if there's anybody in Milton, Florida tonight. Glory to God, you believe. I heard a preacher say the other day, he feels like the charismatic movement has robbed the independent Baptist movement from talking about the joy of the Holy Ghost. And he may be right, but on a something else they've robbed us of, the power of faith. The power of faith. Jimmy Swaggart didn't write the power of faith. John Hagin didn't write the power of faith. God's people's been living by faith and walking by faith and enjoying the victory of faith before they ever had any faith. It's not a holiness doctrine. It's not a charismatic doctrine. It is a Bible doctrine that God honors faith and faith honors God. And I'm glad one day my faith touched the Lord and His power touched me. If I can just break through this crowd. I was in a camp meeting a while back and an old boy hadn't preached many sermons. He got up and preached on that press. How the blind man and how that crippled man and how this woman couldn't get to Jesus for the press. And he said, bless God, that's what's wrong with CNN and ABC and Fox and the press. And they won't let anybody get to God. Well, he was wrong about all of that, but he was right about all of that. Boy, she had a lot of obstacles in her way. The masses of people, the throngs of people, people richer than her, people more educated than her, people more talented than her. But aren't you glad you can't get lost in a crowd? Here's a God, here's a Savior that invites all of us from every tribe and tongue and kindred, come boldly to the throne of grace. Her desire, and she's going to Jesus. Because she wants to touch the hem of His garment. Now, what is the hem of a garment? My wife doesn't sew. She said as long as Dillard's does, she don't need to. And I've tried to tell her that Walmart does too, but we're having a little problem with that. She don't cook much. She said, as long as Betty Crocker cooks, she don't have to cook. But boys, I didn't marry for clothes or food. I married for pretty. Say amen right there. Praise God. But I have watched her sew just enough. You don't put the hem in first. The hem is the finishing touch that makes the garment complete. And if you get a hem, you've got to turn up one side of the material. Something's got to be lifted up. Whoop! If you're going to make a hem, something's got to be lifted up. Y'all going to get that in a minute. Something's got to be lifted up if you're going to make a hem. Ladies and gentlemen, Jesus Christ was on this earth. They put Him down. They knocked Him down. They talked Him down. They let Him down. They pushed Him down. But they made a mistake. They lifted Him up. And He said, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto Me. And I'm glad tonight by faith I have touched the finished work of my uplifted Savior. To make that Him, that uplifted part of that material, has to be wounded and pierced within and without. The hem of my jacket tonight stays in place because it was pierced and wounded within and without. May I remind you tonight that salvation is free, but it's not cheap. It costs God everything. God bankrupted heaven to save you and I. And because of His death and His suffering and His blood, we're saved tonight. Aren't you glad by faith one day we touch the finished work of our uplifted and our wounded Savior who died on the cross that we might be saved. More, that woman touching the hem of that garment is a picture of you and I touching the finished work of Jesus Christ who wove the garments of salvation on a hill far away where stood an old rugged cross. I want to tell you what the remedy is tonight for every man's dilemma, every woman's dilemma. Praise God, the finished work of the cross and the finished work of Calvary. And I'm glad tonight by faith we can press through. because you can't get lost in a crowd when it comes to Calvary. For he tasted death, whoop, for every man. You say, I'm hyper. Well, you might hyperventilate before that's over with. He tasted death for every man. Brother Brian, it bothers me when they disguise themselves as grace preachers. Well, I'm a grace preacher. Well, if you preach the New Testament, you got to be a grace preacher. Then they follow it up and say, well, you know, there's no real Bible definition for grace, so we have to invent one, you know, something for nothing or God's riches at Christ's expense. Well, all that sounds good, but there is a Bible. There is a Bible definition of the word grace. In Hebrews chapter number 2 and verse 9, it said, he, Jesus, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man. There's your Bible definition. That's what your grace is. Brother, you got two sons and a daughter. Is that right? Let me tell you what grace is. Both sons and daughter can be saved. One boy can be saved. One boy's got to go to hell. That's not grace. Brother Brian, you had two precious daughters and both of them can be saved. And they both say they are saved. But grace is not one can be saved and one cannot be saved. I got a son and a daughter. Amen. Both of them can be saved. They both say they are saved. I wonder about my daughter sometimes, but she says it. But I'm here to tell you, grace, it's not that one can and one can't. Brother Valor, you had a boy and several girls. And I want to tell you, grace is not that God could save your boy and couldn't save your girls. That's not grace. Let me tell you what grace is. Mama can be saved, and Daddy can be saved, and Papa can be saved, and Grandma can be saved, and Junior and Sissy and Lulu and Haroldine can be saved. He tasted death for every man. When it comes to Calvary, you can't get lost in a crowd. Woo! Her dilemma, her desire. And number three, notice her deliverance. Her deliverance. Need me a little help right here, but I want you to be Jesus. Jesus, I'm sorry about that, but that's the best I can do tonight. I want you to be Jesus. Let me apologize to the Lord one more time. Lord, I'm sorry, but it's the best I can do tonight. I want you to be Jesus. I want you to be Jairus. I want you to be the man that's coming after Jesus and we're going to let her be your daughter. And I'm sorry about that, honey. Maybe I'll do better tomorrow night. But you want to get Jesus over there to touch your daughter. And so you go over there and say, Jesus, I need you to come, repeat that, Jesus, I need you to come to my house. My daughter's 12, and she's about to die. You need to come over there. I believe you are who you say you are. I believe you can do what they say you can do. I've heard some mighty good things about you, and I just believe you are who you say you are. I just believe you the man. I believe you can get the job done. Please come to my house. You're welcome at my place. You're invited to my place. The door is open. The carpet's rolled out. The light's on.
The door's open. The carpet's rolled out and the light's on.
That little boy's got a good memory. Wow. And so he's trying his best to get Jesus to come to his house. Then all of a sudden this woman interrupts the whole thing. She runs right in the middle of it, pushes that crowd back and just reaches up and touches the hem of his garment. And all of a sudden, Jesus stands still. And I can see Jairus as he's saying, you got to come. I've told you, she's at the point of death. She's at the point of death. We got to go. We got to go. It may not be bothering Jesus, but I believe it's tearing Daddy's nerves up. But Jesus stops and he looks around. Because the Bible said he knew it. I love this word. Whew. That virtue come out of him. Look that up in your Strong's Concordance. It's akin to the same word, dynamo, dynamite, gospel power. Whoop! Son, he knew that dynamite come out of him. He knew that authority come out of him. You know what had to come out of him? Something bigger than her problem. Something bigger than her dilemma. Something greater than what had her bound. Aren't you glad tonight by faith you touched Jesus? Something bigger than you came out of him and got on you. The big power, dynamite of God. Virtue come out of him. And the Bible said Jesus knew it. And that woman knew it. Jesus felt it, and she felt it, that something had happened to her. Jesus. Jairus is wanting him to come on. Jairus is wanting him to come on. But you can't get lost in a crowd. Lord have mercy. Can I have another 30 minutes? Jesus never gets in a hurry because he don't have to. You say, well, preacher, suppose he gets there and he can't be the great physician because the girl's dead. He's also the resurrection and the life. When you were the doctor and the resurrection, you don't need to get in no hurry. And Jesus turns around and says, who touched me? Who touched me? Jesus knows who touched me. Jesus knows, but he wants her to know who did it. And them disciples, independent, fundamental, premillennial, no literature, hate everybody, Schofield waving Baptist. What do you mean all these people around Jesus? All these people around here. How you make me? How you make me? Oh, shut up. Who touched me? And Preacher Valor, about that time, I see that little woman. She raises her hand. Boy, I remember that night I raised my hand to God and said, Lord, it is me. It is me. I believed all my life that Jesus died for sinners, but I didn't know I was one of them. I believe Jesus all my life. I heard my daddy preach it. Heard my mama shout about it. That's exactly right. Heard my daddy preach about it. Heard my mama shout about it. I'm not apologizing for that. My daddy preached about it and my mama shouted about it. Let me say that again. My daddy preached about it and my mama shouted about it. My daddy was a Baptist. My mama was Church of God. They got married and my mama got to believing like my daddy and my daddy got to acting like my mama and I got the best of both worlds. All my life I believed he died for sinners, Jason, Brother Jason, but I didn't know I was one of them. All my life I believed he died to keep people out of hell, but I had no idea it was for me. I thought it was for mama. I thought it was for my daddy. I thought it was for me and sisters. I thought it was for all them other lost church members. Oh, but I remember that night when God hit me up in a corner, whoop, and I raised my hand. I said, it's me again, Lord. It's me again, Lord. I got a prayer that needs an answer. It's me again, Lord. I got a problem I can't solve. I don't mean to trouble you, but here I am with something new. And when I need help, hallelujah, it only comes from you. It's me again, Lord. I want to tell you what God wants you to do tonight. He wants you to lift your hand and say, God, I need you tonight. God, I want you tonight. I've tried everybody but you tonight. God, it's you. And in Christ, alone, it's me. And she said, and while I'm at it, Jesus, let me tell you why I did it. And she tells her story. 12 years. And son, as soon as she said 12, old Jairus, 12. Yeah. He'd heard that number before. 12. He's over there thinking, yeah, my daughter's 12. Well, surely if he can heal a woman that's been sick for 12, he can hear somebody who's 12. Woo! And finally Jesus said, go thy way. Go in peace. Daughter. He never called anybody else her but that in all the Bible except them women weeping at the cross. He said, daughter to Jerusalem, and they called that girl daughter. Daughter! By the way, you know what daughter means? That means family. Let me tell you about men. We love our sons, we'll kill you for our daughters. We love our boys, we're proud of our boys, but I'm just telling you, we let the boy fight his own battle, we'll stomp you over them girls. Amen. So my son got married, I cried. When my daughter got married, oh God, it was terrible. And then if you're a preacher, not only you got to stand and give her away to that thing and pay for it too. And then your wife said, don't you cry, mess this up. Don't you cry, mess this up. Son, there's something about that daddy-daughter stuff. Anybody here got a daughter? If you're here tonight and you got a daughter, you know what intimidation means. You know what manipulation means. You know what taking orders means. Because her and your wife will gang up on you in an opportune time. Daughter, daughter! Jesus called her daughter. Daughter, thy faith has, Brother Brown, I believe in old Jairus, heard 12. His ears perked up. But son, I believe when he heard daughter, him and his heart perked up. Daughter, 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 say it with me. Daughter. Oh, daughter, daughter, daughter. That's what I've come for. I've come for my daughter. I want him to help my daughter. And I believe Jairus said, all right, just take your time. If there's any more daughters that you need to make daughters, I'm glad you're in the daughter business. I'm glad you're in the daughter business. I believe Jairus said something like this. Lord have mercy. If he can do it for his daughter, he can do it for mine. If he can do it for somebody else's daughter, he can do it for mine. If somebody's daughter can live, my daughter can live. If somebody's daughter can be saved, then my daughter can be saved. If some daddy can be in heaven with his daughter, bless God, I can be in heaven with my daughter. Woo! And so here's the story. Oh, Jairus and Jesus come in. Whew. You're a little slow, Dad. And Jesus runs everybody out of that house. But mama and daddy and daughter and Peter, James and John. And Jesus, hold my hand. And Jesus says, daughter, arise. Glory. It is no secret what God can do for what he did for one daughter. He can do for your daughter. What he did for one son, he can do for your son. What he did in one church, he can do in another church. What he's done in one dilemma, he can do in another dilemma. What he's done in one person's body, he can do in your body. Because I'm telling you, you can't get lost in a crowd. You can't get lost in a crowd. Though millions have come, there's still room for one. There's room at the cross for you. You can't get lost in a crowd. All you got to do is by faith, press through and touch him. And when your faith touches Jesus, something in Jesus will touch you. Because I'm telling you tonight, he's right for whatever's wrong in our life. Boy, I'm glad multitudes can be saved. I'm glad a whole church full can be saved. Lord, here's little old me down in this big old world. And he said, yeah, I see you, and I love you, and I can help you. You can't get lost in a crowd. Hallelujah. What a Savior. Let's stand together tonight. Thank you, young people. Our Heavenly Father, we love you tonight. And Lord, as needy and unworthy as we are, somehow, you love us and you care about us. Lord, if there's someone in this room tonight that the uncontrollable circumstances of life has taken its toll. And they feel like they've spent all. Help them to realize they don't have to have anything because Jesus has paid it all. And there may be someone in this room tonight that just by faith needs to press through the crowd in their dilemma. And so Lord, I need you to help me tonight. And I'm glad every man, woman, and boy and girl can leave this service tonight with help from you. Because we can't get lost in a crowd. Thank you, Lord, for who you are. What you can do. And what you're going to do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.